Iowa Falls, W228 P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prepare for long lines at airports today as millions start traveling for the holiday weekend. WCBS TV reporter Nick Calloway is at Newark in New Jersey.
Behind me is a long and sort of slow-moving line of people trying to check their bags through Spirit Airlines. These passengers have another line ahead at the TSA checkpoint.
Czech officials are reacting to today's mass shooting in Prague, where 15 people were killed at a university. Danny Eberhards with the BBC.
The Czech president, Petr Pavel, has expressed his shock about the attack and sent his condolences to those affected.
And medical care has collapsed now in Gaza. BBC reporter Imogene Fox.
The WHO says hospitals in northern Gaza have become hospices where people are simply waiting to die. With no surgical capacity left, patients with serious injuries, perhaps requiring amputation, now risk dying of wound infections.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Expect lawmakers to audit diversity practices in Wisconsin state government next year after the recent deal with the Universities of Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says opportunity in Wisconsin should be colorblind.
That's what I think America should be all about. Hard work equals
success. And DEI does not get people there.
Not in my mind, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
Voss tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network the state made bipartisan gains on shared revenue, the Brewer's Bill, and new literacy guidelines in 2023. Xcel Energy customers can expect to pay more next year. A rate increase will raise the typical monthly electric bill by about $1 and natural gas bills by about $3. The increase will pay for future renewable energy projects. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Visit Eau Claire is asking the community to help pick a sculpture to remain in the city permanently. The city has 20 different sculptures to choose from, and Visit Eau Claire's People's Choice event will decide which one gets to stay. Each year, the organization donates a sculpture to the city's permanent collection, and the remaining sculptures are returned to the artists who made them. Some of the previous sculptures chosen to stay include a triangle-shaped sculpture with a hole cut out, a metal bear, and a high-fiving dog. Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he wants a comprehensive audit of diversity programs in Wisconsin state government agencies. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, the audit would seek to determine if agencies use DEI programs to give extra credit to candidates based on race. He hopes to have the review completed by 2025, which would allow state lawmakers to consider it while drafting the next two-year state budget. Voss recently pressured the universities of Wisconsin to cap DEI positions. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's the Bucks and the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball tonight at Fiserv Forum featuring the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks, who are currently on a five-game winning streak. Orlando trying to snap a three-game losing skid. Baseball, a curious trade for the Brewers. They send pitcher Adrian Hauser and center fielder Tyrone Taylor to the New York Mets in exchange for 23-year-old minor league pitcher Coleman Crow. The right-hander was 15-6 last year in the minors. NFL, after tweeting out frustrations about playing with injury, Packers linebacker Devondre Campbell, dealing with a neck injury, will not play against the Panthers in Carolina. Matt LaFleur says he spoke to Campbell.
Dre's a guy that I go back a long time with, all the way back to Atlanta, and I've always respected the man and how he works and pours his heart and soul into this thing, and he's missed some games and he's been battling through. So we just think it's best at this time to kind of give him the week and we'll see where we're at.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today as high temperatures soar to the low 40s. By tonight, we'll be cloudy with a chance of drizzle through the overnight hours as lows fall to the upper 30s. Tomorrow, that drizzle turns to rain and brings patchy fog along with it. Right now, it's 39.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Going right to the lines, Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, the right wingers are trying to say that all this Colorado thing is because they were afraid of Trump. Not at all, not in the slightest. We just want to get rid of him as quick as we can. I mean, look, why do we want to put – he'll take us to January of 2025. He'll still be bedeviling us. If the Supreme Court doesn't come to their senses, approve the constitutional law, spread it to everything, take Nikki Haley and see what happens. You know, these Supreme Court justices might be tired of this Trump guy too. I remember Gorsuch making some comments shortly after he was appointed. You know, because he says such anti-legal things. So they might want to get rid of him, you know? It might go 9-0.
Well, I hope so. that's very funny. Here's the deal, though. They may get tired of him, but he appointed them. You know, he appointed Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And, people feel loyalty. And then, of course... Clarence Thomas has been taking money for 20 years, which he solicited apparently initially. And nobody does anything because the Republicans won't impeach him and they won't convict him in an impeachment. And they won't bind themselves to any binding ethics. We have a branch of government that's supposed to be a check and balance, but it has no check and balance. It says that they can overrule the president or the Congress, but nobody can overrule them, even if they're taking bribes. That's the state of our government right now. And it's wrong and it's disgusting. I think it's true, Bob, that's liable to happen. Trump loses the election in November. He'll lose by another 7 million votes. The country's larger now, maybe 8 million votes. He'll lose, but they'll still continue to claim fraud. The only difference is they're going to be very careful about attacking the voting machine companies after Fox paid almost $790 million. You can be very, very careful about defaming individuals after Shane Moss and Ruby Freeman. And they ain't going to be showing up in the beginning on January 6th or whenever the count is. 1,200 of them were charged, 1,200 of them, virtually all convicted. Couple of went away for over 20 years. So Trump somehow still commands loyalty, but he sheds people like a cheap suit. He doesn't care. They go to jail. Cohen, his lawyer, went to jail over Stormy Daniels, And she never knew Stormy. He never knew Stormy Daniels, never got anything off of Stormy Daniels. Manafort went to jail. Roger Stone was convicted, had to be pardoned. Bannon is facing a jail sentence. The Proud Boy guy, over 20 years. The Oath Keeper guy, over 20 years. But Trump, he doesn't get 20 minutes. Nothing happens to the guy. We'll see what happens. I do not think he beats Biden, and we're very lucky to have Joe Biden. Speaking of Trump, however, he doubles down on stuff. Anything stupid, anything cruel, like the Hitler comment that immigrants are going to poison our blood. He did it again, and Mitch McConnell has asked for his reaction. Now, Moscow Mitch is a sly, he's really a sly old snapping turtle. He just sits there blinking by the pond, and he gets what he wants. But in any event, here's what he said. He said, quote, "It strikes me that it didn't bother him when he appointed Elaine Chao Secretary of Transportation." Now, Elaine Chao is the wife of Moscow Mitch McConnell. She was in the Bush cabinet, and she also was born in Taiwan, came to this country as a U.S. citizen, and married to, at that time, the majority leader, now the minority leader. I said before, Tuberville shot his mouth off saying, well, that's not enough. Hitler and Trump aren't enough. Well, what's enough? You machine gun? Like Saudi Arabia does, immigrants from Yemen? What's enough? But Trump immediately went back at McCormick and McConnell, Mitch McConnell, to insult him. And he said, quote, and this was a year ago, and then I'll tell you what he said in this campaign. A year ago, he said, McConnell should seek help and advice from his China-loving wife, Coco Chow. In other words, making fun of her name is Elaine Chao, C-H-A-O. And in the tweet, it was Coco, C-H-O-W. And he thought that was funny, just juvenile humor. But in this campaign, here's what he said. I did not pick up on this until just now. I did not pick up on this. He said, quote, this is Trump talking about Mitch McConnell's wife, quote, does Coco Chow have anything to do with Joe Biden's classified documents being sent and stored in Chinatown? Her husband, the old broken crow, is very close to Biden, the Democrats, and of course, China. Now, that is deeply offensive and reckless on so many levels. All of this ethnic insult that he thinks is funny, you might have said when you were in the seventh or eighth grade or something, although you shouldn't have then, but this is a grown man running for the presidency, who was the president, talking about the Republican leader in the Senate, talking about him being an old broken crow and his wife is Coco Chow. So is it possible that Trump ever gets the message not to do something cruel, illegal, and borderline sadistic? And the answer is no. There's nothing. The minute he gets any kind of reaction, he doubles down on it, and he has a hardcore of supporters who basically are with him no matter what. Basically with him no matter what. So we will see. But that kind of talk, and it's not just about poisoning the blood, but they're coming from here and there and all that. Something does have to be done about immigration. There was a record set the other day. 12,000 people just came into the country for process in one day. This has got to be brought under control. But if the only person commenting on it is Donald Trump quoting Adolf Hitler, that's a sad day. It has been observed that this negotiation right now in the Senate, where in exchange for Ukraine aid and Israel aid, that the Democrats and the Republicans will agree on much stricter tightening of the border, much stricter, no more abuse of saying you're an asylum refugee entitled to enter under international law when basically you're an economic refugee. None of this, frankly, gives me any pleasure, and none of it takes away from the fact that many of these are very good people, most of them are very good people, would contribute to this country. But Where do you stop? There are 5 billion people at least in the world who would really like to get into the United States, and many of them just apply for citizenship the way they're supposed to. But Biden had to close one of the borders between, one of the entry points between Texas and Mexico, simply because we were overwhelmed. We were absolutely overwhelmed. And we will see. We will see what happens. But it has been observed that the parties could do each other a favor. This deal, if it comes about, would be a favor to the Democratic Party because it would address an issue that's a festering sore right now. Another plane load of refugees was flown to Chicago. Instead of busing, they fly it. Yeah, I got to let the plane land. They get off. Before, Chicago put in very, very stringent laws and regulations about where you could leave people like these migrants and what you had to do and take care of them. So you know what Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, did? He sent buses up, and he had them drop them off in the suburbs or at the corner of a road. Now, this is cold down in Chicago. Yes, a little warmer than normal, I agree, but it's still in the 40s and 30s, and they're dropping families off at intersections and speeding away. You know, it's sort of a pump and dump. It's very, very disgusting what they are doing. Very, very disgusting what they are doing. One other thing that blew me away, Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan subpoenaed Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland. Why did he subpoena Merrick Garland? He subpoenaed Merrick Garland because they are doing litigation now that they're in the majority. When Trump was president, and it was obvious from the FBI that there had been Russian collusion, the Department of Justice and the FBI investigated communications from congressional staff, because a lot of times congressmen use, there's no speech and debate clause exception for congressional staff. And so the Department of Justice and the FBI were looking for Russian penetration of the Congress, from Russian penetration of the Republican Party. And there's plenty of examples of it. You remember that Mike McCarthy, and it was on tape, said there was a congressman from Colorado who was from California who was subsequently beaten. And then, of course, this Trump, and McCarthy said he thought that Trump and this guy were on the payroll of the Russians. Trump, that's what he said. They denied it. They brought in the audio, and he still denied it. But he had good reason to think it. He had very, very good reason to think it. Anyway, Jordan is the guy that he himself defied a subpoena. Remember? GYM Jordan? He was subpoenaed. January 6th commission, he blew it off. He said, screw you, even though you can't, even though you're a congressman, but they didn't go after him because he's a congressman. And now he's busting the chops of Merrick Garland, have him come in there and say, hey, there was no Russian collusion. Garland will say, are you kidding me? And that is going on right now. Very, very sadly, that is what is going on right now. Coming up, there was a brawl at a holiday Christmas party in a congressional district in Detroit that you will not believe. Coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna...
93.5 The Tap.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out.
And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Truly unbelievable spectacle over in Detroit on December 16. It was that 5 days ago. There was a Christmas party for the staff and supporters of a Democratic congressman named Shri Thanedar. Shri, S-H-R-I, Thanedar, 13th Congressional District, Michigan, in Detroit. There were 200 people there. There was his staff and then many, many elderly people, some in their 90s, some in their 80s. Suddenly the door burst open and there were 20 to 30 pro-Palestinian protesters came in. They were uninvited. They were asked to leave. They refused and they start to punch and shove partygoers. And many of them were elderly. There's no security. They didn't expect they'd need security. They will have it now. I bet you that going forward, 200 people. And they were shouting at Shri Thanedar because they felt that he wasn't strong enough in their corner, whatever that corner is. I mean, Shri Thanedar is in the corner of the Democratic Party. He's in the corner of Joe Biden, and Joe Biden has handled that very, very well, in my opinion. They punched one woman. She was quite elderly, Ms. Bobby Amington John, that's her name, last name. She's an African-American community activist. And she was punched so badly, she had two black eyes, swollen eyes, taken to the hospital. She's still in the hospital. And these are, you know, men, young men in their 20s that do this. By the way, in Wisconsin, if you physically hit someone, an elderly person, and I think the age is 60, maybe it's 62, that's a felony. You know, if you're in a fight and fist cuffs are exchanged, that ain't great. But if it's two people in their younger years, fine. But if you hit an older person, felony in Wisconsin. So if it's if that's true in Michigan too, those people should be prosecuted. There was a 91-year-old woman who is a supporter of Representative Thanedar, and she had to. They have a video of this. You can see it on YouTube. She had to use her cane to defend herself. She had a son named Sterling Jackson. He jumped in to protect his mom. Now, and here's what he said. He said, I jumped in because I couldn't believe they were doing this and nobody was doing anything about it. Now, you remember back in Washington, D.C. a little while ago, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, was meeting, and it was a fundraiser, and they had several senators there and congressmen, and this was a fundraiser for new candidates whom the Democratic Party had recruited around the country to run in vulnerable seats, and this is a way to fundraise for them. Well, there was a demonstration, just like what happened in Detroit, and a policewoman, a female police officer, was punched right in the face. You know, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. This kind of ruffianage, this kind of thuggery, it's being directed at Jewish students in universities, especially the Ivy League, Harvard, Cornell, Columbia. It's directed at NYU, also Berkeley and some of these places. And you know, occasionally you'll have a college girl, college woman, walking along, and she's surrounded by three or four men of her age, not all of them even enrolled in the university, shouting at her and scaring her. This is a Kristallnacht culture, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. In Germany in 1932, when Hitler was brought to power, he lay in the weeds for a few weeks. You know, he'd say, well, I'm going to take care of the Versailles Treaty, and I'm going to make Germany great, and by the way, you know, Poland may attack us. So I've got to be careful. Of course, they weren't ever going to attack Germany. Germany did a false flag operation. But they also, then he dissolved the Reichstag. And then soon you had gangs of thugs roaming the streets. And they would beat people up. They would harass people. And then Kristallnacht is a reference in 1938 to when a mob went down a street and started to break the glass. That's what Kristallnacht means, the night of the broken glass, of any store that was owned by Jewish people. Well, it has not gotten that bad yet, but it is on the way. In Philadelphia, they had a boycott, and everybody agreed in that group not to patronize Jewish businesses. In New York City, there was a library donated by a Jewish donor, and it was vandalized. They are picking people out on their ethnicity. Well, in this one, it wasn't their ethnicity. This audience is largely African-American. This is Detroit. But their congressman is a good, tough Democrat, and he is in sync in his votes with Hakeem Jeffries, with the Democratic caucus, and with Joe Biden. And for that, 20 to 30 people in their 20s or so come in and start beating up old people. And in D.C., they beat up a female cop and punched other people. And that's not the First Amendment. And I'll tell you something about the First Amendment. You have a right to freedom of speech. But if there's such an oppressive and collusive atmosphere where everybody bands together to humiliate, attack, and in some cases hit one ethnic group, that is not the First Amendment. That is, first of all, a crime. Secondly, it should be prosecuted. But up until now, what people have been doing is say, well, you know, depends on the context. Is this the First Amendment? No, it's not. And Kristallnacht societies are not the First Amendment. But that's what happened. And it was shameful. It was wrong, shameful and wrong. And we can't tolerate it anymore. This has been going on now, not just for the last couple of months, but it's gone on several other times before that. Development overseas, Erdogan, head of Turkey, bad news. Erdogan now says that he would vote to admit Sweden into NATO. He's been blocking Sweden from NATO if we deliver F-16s to him. Now, he's in NATO. He's in NATO. But he is a rogue NATO member. He's threatened to attack Greece, which is another NATO member. He has dealt with the Russians contrary to NATO policy and contrary to NATO regulations. And he is simply holding Sweden hostage. And Biden is afraid if he gives him F-16s, he'll use them to attack another NATO member, Greece. He's already threatened it. Or under the guise of NATO, start attacking other people. And then if he's attacked under Article 5, we're going to have an obligation to respond. The way I look at him is like I look at Orban and Hungary and the EU. I think what NATO does is you form another NATO 2, and you admit Sweden, and it's just all NATO countries except Turkey. And then you tell Erdogan, okay, you're in NATO 1. There's a NATO 2. We're all going to respond, but we're going to get around you. We're not going to do that kind of thing anymore. And I think it's about time. It's about time, frankly, that everybody just stepped up and said that to this guy. This guy is truly bad news, truly bad news. Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and then Harvard University's finances. Very, very surprising developments. We got along so fine,
but I knew you was telling lies. Knew you was talking. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Festival Foods workers will get 3 weeks of paid leave after having a baby starting New Year's Day. The benefit also goes to workers who have a child placement, a new foster child, or adopts a new child. About 8,000 people work at festival locations around Wisconsin. AAA predicts a record of 7.5 million Americans will fly over the next 2 weeks, and some of them will have heart conditions.
If you're on a plane, be in an aisle seat. So if you're on a water pill or diuretic, you're going to be sitting for a long period of time. Your compression socks may be suggested.
Cardiologist Dr. Kim Perry says people who've had a heart attack or stroke within the last 6 months should clear any travel with their doctors beforehand. And if you feel any symptoms on a plane, tell a flight attendant right away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Visit Eau Claire is asking the community to help pick a sculpture to remain in the city permanently. The city has 20 different sculptures to choose from, and Visit Eau Claire's People's Choice event will decide which one gets to stay. Each year, the organization donates a sculpture to the city's permanent collection, and the remaining sculptures are returned to the artists who made them. Some of the previous sculptures chosen to stay include a triangle-shaped sculpture with a hole cut out, a metal bear, and a high-fiving dog. Wisconsin Republicans are proposing a plan to legalize medical marijuana in the state. According to an Associated Press report, Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the proposal would be similar to the medical marijuana law in Minnesota before the state moved to full legalization. A vote on the proposal could happen sometime in 2024, allowing Wisconsin to join 38 other states in legalizing medical marijuana. Speaker Voss also reiterated that a push for legalized recreational marijuana was not on the table. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
It's the Bucks and the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball tonight at Fiserv Forum featuring the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks, who are currently on a 5-game winning streak. Orlando trying to snap a 3-game losing skid. Baseball, a curious trade for the Brewers. They send pitcher Adrian Hauser and center fielder Tyrone Taylor to the New York Mets in exchange for 23-year-old minor league pitcher Coleman Crow. The right-hander was 15-6 last year in the minors. NFL, after tweeting out frustrations about playing with injuries, Packers linebacker Devondre Campbell, dealing with a neck injury, will not play against the Panthers in Carolina. Matt LaFleur says he spoke to Campbell.
Dre's a guy that I go back a long time with, all the way back to Atlanta, and I've always respected the man and how he works and pours his heart and soul into this thing. And he's missed some games, and he's been battling through. So we just think it's best at this time to kind of give him the week, and we'll see where we're at.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today as high temperatures soar to the low 40s. By tonight, we'll be cloudy with a chance of drizzle through the overnight hours as lows fall to the upper 30s. Tomorrow, that drizzle turns to rain and brings patchy fog along with it. Right now, it's 39.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, two questions for you, and they're in reference to this Colorado State Supreme Court decision and then its advancement onto the National Supreme Court. And I'm curious, I just wanted to bring up, and I don't know if you've mentioned this or this has come up at all, but this just fascinates me. The people who first put forth this petition to have Trump taken off the ballot in Colorado were a group of Republicans. One article said it was 4 Republicans and 2 non-affiliated voters, and the other said it was 6 Republicans and 2 non-affiliated voters. But the point I find fascinating is it is Republicans who brought this forward, not Democrats. They took the case to a watchdog group called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, also known as CREW. And then working with CREW on behalf of these participants wanted to have this lawsuit brought forward. I find this fascinating that it was Republicans working to get Trump off the ballot. This is a lot of work for petitioners to do, and I find it fascinating that this was the group that pushed this forward, not the Democrats within the state. Now, my understanding is it went to a lower court in Colorado, and it stopped there, and then they appealed to the Supreme Court in Colorado, and it got the judgment that Trump could be taken off the ballot. Now, two things that I wanted to ask you about, Matt, as a lawyer, as you look at this. The first is, it does say in the Constitution on the 14th Amendment, it's very clear if you engage in insurrection, you can't be part of this. You just can't do it. The second thing I would ask that as a result of that is if the prevail, if they were able to keep Trump off the ballot and the Supreme Court, National Supreme Court, agrees with this. Number one, there are other states that are seeking to do this too, and I'm sure that they would want to flood basically to the Supreme Court to try to get judgments done on this prior to the election going forward. So my first question is, would they be able to fast track there if Colorado wins, would these other states be able to fast track their court cases? And then the second thing I wanted to ask you is, boy, and this is just more kind of a thought exercise, I find this fascinating that these Republicans push this forward, and that I wonder if in some ways the Supreme Court would be in an ideal place to take the heat on all of this and just say, no, Constitution's clear. You know, he can't be on the ballot. Sorry, we're picking this up, and he doesn't cut the cake. He can't be on the ballot. And I think there's something about what would happen there that is fascinating to me, because none of us, not the Supreme Court, not anyone, knows what kind of evidence, what kind of tawdry, awful stuff Jack Smith is sitting on in his various court cases. We just, the little that we've seen is like the top of an iceberg on the ocean. And I assume that there's a heck of a lot below it. And then in certain ways, wouldn't this just be a very tidy thing for the Republican Party if the Republicans on the Supreme Court, or, you know, Republican favoring Supreme Court justices, just went, says in the Constitution, he's got to go bye-bye, see ya. It would solve some problems now, wouldn't it? Anyway, I'd be interested in your reflection on those two thoughts. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. Excellent comments. And I would say, frankly, I think there are a lot of Republicans who in their heart of hearts would like to be saved by somebody other than themselves. In other words, that they would welcome that. You're absolutely right that it was Republicans who started it. Remember the Lincoln Project and, you know, people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, they are stand-up, excellent people, and they don't want any part of this. Donald Trump has poisoned the Republican Party. He's essentially rendered it non-existent, because the Republican Party traditionally had been the Eisenhowers and the Tommy Thompsons and the Lee Dreyfuses, and now it would be Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and maybe Mitt Romney. They can't get to first base. Now, I would say this. The 14th Amendment absolutely does say that if you are in insurrection or rebellion and you've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, you can't hold that office. There's no question it says that. Now, your question, which was a good one, is how fast could other states fast track it? Michigan already went that route, and a Michigan court said that they couldn't knock him off the ballot. There was another in one of the southern states that was as well. Now, this would be state by state. I don't expect that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to enter a blanket national order if they enter anything at all. But you know very well that no Supreme Court that is Republican is going to throw them off. So that's at least half the states, maybe more. None of the red states are going to do it. Of the blue states, would New York do it? Would California do it? Would he win those anyway? The real ball game is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And let's take Wisconsin. We live in Wisconsin. And this, if the U.S. Supreme Court said that Colorado was correct, there'd be very, very good basis for Janet Protasiewicz and the other Supreme Court justices to say the same here. And the legislature couldn't do anything about it. In Michigan, they'd have to bring it again. But the ball game would be the swing states, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and I suppose New Mexico. And which one of them have Supreme Courts, not necessarily Democratic Supreme Courts, but honest ones. But yes, it could be fast-tracked. You can file a case with original jurisdiction in the Supreme Court with the permission of the Supreme Court. And I can't think of any circumstance more exigent now than who's going to be on the ballot. Thanks a lot, Joe, as always. Todd or Billy, Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. Yesterday you were talking about discussing jihad, and it just made me think about there's a lot of words that I'm hearing in the news these days, commentators using, such as jihad, pogrom, Nakba, that I think could be described in plain English, and I like to appeal to commentators to use more plain language to talk about those things for two reasons. One is, I mean, I listen to this radio show, so I consider myself somewhat informed and engaged, and so I think that I worry that people tune out, they don't understand, or even, you know, kind of come to a subject with certain biases because of these words are loaded. And so I just feel like I wonder if we could just use more plain language that doesn't confuse people. And again, I'm not picking on you, but just I just have this feeling that we would really do a better job talking about these issues if, you know, we stayed away from these words. They have a rich history. I understand they're culturally based. I don't mean that it's bad for Jewish people to, you know, speak of pogrom or whatever. But I feel like in the news when we're talking about these issues, if we talk about what that is, what a Nakba is, what happened, and take away this noun and talk about the verb, the action that actually happened, that it's a better way for people to judge it and make form their opinions about these things that have happened.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Very, 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 very important information in that call. Thank you very, very much. Chad of Greenfield, thanks for calling. Chad, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, I got two questions for you. Number one is, if President Trump was polling at 20%, would you think anyone would be taking these initiatives, these undemocratic initiatives to get him off the ballot? And number two, if this really was an insurrection, which it wasn't, well, why isn't Merrick Garland prosecuting him? He knows he's going to lose. I mean, you guys are just really, you talk about democracy, you guys are killing democracy, and it's just making President Trump stronger. You should be ashamed.
Okay, Chad, I always appreciate your calls. You're a principled conservative, and I'm going to respond to your question. One is, if he were polling at 20%, it was Republicans who brought this in Colorado, not Democrats initially. And so if he were polling at 20%, they still should. If he's polling at 2%, they still should. You either commit a crime or you don't. Secondly, you say if Merrick Garland, if he committed insurrection, should prosecute him. He is prosecuting him. He appointed Jack Smith, and Jack Smith is prosecuting him. So, and Fannie Willis is prosecuting him. So there you have it. There you have it. But thanks for calling. And I think the real guts of your question, which is a good one, is this helping Trump? And my feeling is two things. Nothing can help Trump. Biden's going to win. He's a very effective and good president. And Trump is a drama queen. The guy is self-absorbed and beholden to Putin and all that. But number two, I think at some point we're a government of law, laws, not of men and women. We're a government of laws. And if you break the law, you should be prosecuted and let the chips fall where they may. But I hear what you're saying. And tactically, there's some people who might agree with you that it helps Trump. I personally don't. But the proof of the pudding, we'll know next November. Chad, thanks a lot for calling, as always. Charles of Green Bay, you've already called once, but today, let me hear from you again. I want to hear what you got to say.
Hey, Matt, it's good to hear your voice. And by the way, before we get into this thing, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and your family. The thing is, the young lady who was talking about the language situation, why don't we, and I'm going to just throw this out there and see what you have to say, what grade level is the newspaper written at? I believe last time I heard, it was written at a seventh grader's reading ability. Okay. Right. So if you're going to report the news, report it at a seventh grade level, I don't know. And that other man who just was on there, I don't know, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who just said that there was no such thing as an insurrection. I think what he needs to do is I think he needs to go look up the word insurrection. Because if he'd look up the word insurrection, he would find out the meaning of the word. And yes, Trump did agitate, did everything he did. And like I said before, Osama bin Laden did the same thing. And look where right. Osama bin Laden is. I believe he's in the bottom of the Indian Ocean somewhere.
Thanks for calling, Charles. Great comments as always. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling again, Bill. What's on your mind today?
This is about that previous caller. Your caller just started to acknowledge him on the word insurrection. I would remind that person who doesn't think this is an insurrection, ask him if he believes in the peaceful power of transfer of power. He was said, well, he didn't do that. Wait a minute. Did Trump participate in a peaceful transition of power? No, he did not. You can't deny that. And this is at Chad, I think his name was. How can you deny what you saw with your own eyes and say, oh, that was a disturbance? That was like, what does Ron Johnson call it? Just a friendly visit to the White House. We've got to wake up, get in reality. Thanks for what you do, Matt, though. What you do is something this country's needed for a long time, for people to discuss concepts, debates, all that. Thank you, Matt. Have a good Christmas.
Yeah, same to you, Bill. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, actually, you'd be a good trial lawyer. That's a great cross-examination question. Do you believe in a peaceful transition of power? And I assume all of my callers would. But secondly, do you think Trump did? And all you have to do is watch what Trump did on January 6th. And, I'll tell you what, he does not. Stay on the line. I see you. I see people on the line. Do not hang up. Coming up, we are going to talk about Harvard's finances, but more important, a new development in Lev Parnas's conviction. Remember Lev Parnas, Giuliani's associate? They basically unredacted the affidavit, and Giuliani was in it up to his ears. Coming back very quick, and do not hang up. I see you on the line. I will get to you right away.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Welcome back to Match and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. Paul, what's in your mind today?
Hey, just one thing, and I'll let you go on with your show. Please watch the video. They were within minutes of killing and hurting congressmen. There was a certain officer that led him down the wrong hallway. Otherwise, they would have, you know, if they'd have got a hold of Nancy or any of these people, I don't think they cared if it was Republicans or Democrats. They would have probably killed them or maimed them. And people were killed, for goodness sakes. So people need to watch the video and come to terms what actually happened in the Capitol January 6th. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And I can't agree more. First of all, I remember looking at the live TV, and there's that guy trying to break the glass or some kind, I don't know, he's pounding it with a piece of metal or something. And then you had the QAnon shaman, the cat with the horns and the fur and that, and the makeup and bare-chested and all this, howling like a wolf. But then they were saying, kill Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. They were saying that, and they said it in a mob. And it reminded me of mobs in Berlin in the 30s, or you can see mobs in Iran today, death to America and all this stuff, and mobs in Afghanistan. You know, when a mob forms, it doesn't have individual reasoning power. They aren't individually human. It's an organism. And if that officer who led them, they were going into the Senate chambers where there were senators. And I don't know if you saw the video of Mike Pence with his security, and he was walking along, and then suddenly they start trotting the other way. If 1 minute, they were within a minute, maybe less than a minute of seeing him, they would have killed him. They would have beaten him to death. And if they saw Nancy Pelosi in the hallway, she's a slim woman, you know, 80 years old back then. She was probably 79 or 80, and very thin and slim. They could have easily killed her. And frankly, the one officer who had to shoot one of the insurrectionists, and regrettably she died, killed her, was doing it to protect congressmen. He was squatting down, ready for them to burst through. That's what he was doing. And they were still in there. And now the vice president and the leadership, in other words, the speaker, the majority leader, and the minority leader, all have safe rooms, safe houses, so to speak, in the Capitol in case there's some absolute dire emergency. At least the leadership survives. So they took Nancy Pelosi, they took Mike Pence, they took, I think Kevin McCarthy was a minority leader back then, and they took them into these things. But they had to walk through hallways to get to them. So, I don't buy this business if it wasn't an insurrection. Also, there were gallows. And anybody out there who's a carpenter, do you think that they constructed those gallows that morning? I don't think they did. Somebody, I don't know why there isn't more investigation, like who trucked it there? Who brought it there? Why was there a permit to what, put a gallows on Capitol Hill? Are you kidding me? I was in France one time in Paris, in the Place de Concorde, which is where I think Marie Antoinette was beheaded. And now this is a tourist spot. My hotel was right near there. Walking around, I go, hey, wait a minute. Marie Antoinette just got beheaded right over there. And we had that circumstance about to happen if it weren't for pure chance, pure serendipity. One officer led them away from the Senate. The other one had to fire his weapon, and they got the congressman out of there, and they were running. You know, this Josh Hawley, this unspeakable idiot from Missouri, he gives them all like the high sign as he's in, sucking up to him, and then he ran like a rabbit. The guy must have run track in high school. He must have the Missouri 100-yard dash record. The guy took to his heels. So, yeah, no, Paul, you're absolutely right. Just look at the video. Look at the video. You can see it with your own eyes. And you can hear them say, hang Mike Pence. You know, to me, some of these jail sentences should have been a lot longer. Yeah, the Proud Boy guy and the Oath Keeper one got long jail sentences, but a lot of them, you shouldn't be able to walk through the Capitol shouting, hang the vice president, and get 6 months. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then, you know, here in the state, by the way, local, we have Van Orden over the 3rd Congressional District, who's truly bad news. And everybody goes, oh, well, yeah, he carried a gun, loaded gun, through an airport in Iowa. And he cursed out some high school interns and used obscenities to him. Apparently, he has these beer things where, you know, he and his staff or somebody, his donors, will have beers in his office. And I don't know how many brewskis the guy had, but these kids are lying on the floor taking pictures of the ceiling, which is what you do. And he's using the F word and the S word and all that. But then he was given a briefing. He was given a briefing by Biden's people on some confidential matter along with the other congressmen. And he starts using obscenities with them. They were on the younger side. That's not right. Some other Republican congressman apologized on behalf of their party for his doing it. The reason I mention this is this clown was at the insurrection. This clown used campaign money, which you shouldn't do. You should not do that. People give you money to campaign. They don't give you money to go to an insurrection. He claims he never went in the Capitol, but there have been reports that his cell phone data show that he was in a restricted area. I don't know if it was in the Capitol or around the Capitol, but he shouldn't have been anywhere near there. You know, the people in the 3rd Congressional District are great people in this state, a lot of friends over there. My nephew is a proud graduate of UW-La Crosse, and a lot of buddies all over it. But I'll tell you what, they also are pretty discerning, and they don't like guys, I don't think, who are part of this at all. So, Paul, I think you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely hit the nail on the head. There was an insurrection. There absolutely was an insurrection. And a warrant was unsealed today for Lev Parnas. Remember him and Igor Fruman, the Ukraine people, the guy that were with Giuliani? It's obvious that Giuliani was in on this up to his eyeballs. They were supposedly getting dirt on Hunter Biden. What they were really doing was trying to obstruct the fact that there was Russian money through these guys coming into Republican campaigns. Tell you what, it's been a great show. Great callers, as always. Great callers. Stand by for another great show, news and weather. And then you're going to have Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute, Matt Flynn Direct. Back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
The present now will later be passed. The order is rapidly fading. And the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.